Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody have a word of testimony they'd like to give this morning? We usually do that on a Sunday night, but chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Neither let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless the Word of God now, the reading of it to our hearts, and help us to be admonished by it. Help us, Lord, to allow it to renew our minds as we read it. And Father, I pray that You would help us in these last days to stand for You and to be strong. And help us, Lord, to do Your will in our lives. Bless now the preaching of the Word of God. May it minister to the hearts of the hearers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention back to verse 27. Very short verse. It says, neither give place to the devil. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on surrendering ground. It says, neither give place to the devil. We're not to follow the things that the devil wants us to follow, but we're to follow the things that God wants us to follow. And He gives us some things there that we ought to do. Like in verse 22, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then he goes down through a list of things. The devil is always on the attack. And we're living in a time when Christians get discouraged at the drop of a hat. It is so easy for the devil to discourage the child of God in this day and age. And I believe it's because, to be honest with you, there's just so much of everything else around us and not enough of the spiritual getting put into us, that it's very easy for the devil to come along and discourage us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to discourage you. He wants to take away the things that you have. Now, there's some things he cannot take away from us. I'm thankful that he can't take our salvation away from us. We're sealed, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. So he can't take the Holy Spirit away from us. But he can sure take an awful lot of other things. He can take our witness away from us. He can take our joy away from us. He can take our influence away from us. There's a lot of things that the devil can take away from us, but only if we will give place to the devil. And the Bible, the admonition there of that verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. And not following the admonition of this verse is to surrender ground to him. You'll surrender the ground of your life, the ground of your family, the ground of your influence, and everything else if you give place to the devil. The first recorded attack of the devil in the book of Genesis comes upon a family. Of course, Adam and Eve, the attack came on Eve. She was deceived. Then Adam fell, and then they had children. And the first attack of the devil was on the family, the first man that was born. He was born, and he committed murder. He was a religious man. He brought the fruit of his ground, his hard work. He was a man that did not follow what God wanted him to do. And he was of the devil. The Bible says Cain was of the devil. The devil hit the family from the very beginning and continues to hit the family today. And we see all around how the devil is trying to get in to the family. But the devil has no place, no authority in a Christian's life except that which the Christian surrenders unto him. They surrendered to the enemy once again the ground that they had fought for and taken. And so many men were casualties. They gave it up because someone said, "We don't want the hill now." You know, a lot of Christians are surrendering ground in their life, just like those men that fought so hard and then, after they were victorious, had to give up that ground that they took in fighting. And so many Christians today are pulling back in the battle, and they're not going forward. And so many Christians today are surrendering the ground that they had once gained in the warfare with the devil. And when we do those things, the devil is happy. He loves when we surrender ground. And we surrender ground when we do not fight. Christianity is not a club. Christianity is not for a bunch of people that just want to get together and have a good time around social events. That is not Christianity. Christianity, seen from the Word of God, is men and women who will stand and stand their ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, do you see a soldier there? I do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, I see a soldier. Do you see a conflict there? I do. It says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We're in a war. And we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, things that you cannot see that are here present in this room today. They're in the air. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. The devil is the god of this world. The devil has power. He has more power than anyone outside of Jesus Christ. He has more power than any man, any angel, anyone, any other spiritual being. He has more power than that. An archangel is a powerful angel. But you know something? When Michael was sent down for the body of Moses and he was contending with the devil, he didn't rebuke the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." That's how powerful the enemy is. When we're studying on Sunday night about Satan and how he became Satan and how he fell from that being that anointed cherub that covered. He was created in beauty and in wisdom, and he had power. He had a throne. He had a dominion. He had rulership. And he still has rulership today. The kingdoms of this world belong to the devil. You cannot see him, but he is at work. And he wants to take over, not only in this world, but he wants to take over in our lives. We're at war. And Christians and entire families are being overtaken by the enemy, and sometimes they don't even realize it. Isn't it a shame when you see what's going on today in families? I mean, wasn't it a shame when you heard on the news about the bullying of that young 12 or 13-year-old girl that jumped off of a tower because she was bullied, and a text came out from the girl that bullied her and said, yes, I bullied her, and she killed herself, and I don't care. The devil is behind stuff like that. He works. I don't know anything about that family, whether they were Christians or not. I don't know that. But I know this. There's a lot of Christian families that are exposed to that same kind of thing. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we need to separate ourselves to the place where it doesn't have the effect on us that it does on others. It's not because we don't have the power that families are taken over and individuals are taken out. We have the power. We have the resources. And we have the way to have victory. We sang victory in Jesus this morning. We sang about the wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all our sins. But as Christians today, we need to stand up and be counted for the Lord. Three times in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, stand therefore, stand, stand. He's not talking about going charging into the enemy, but he's not talking about retreating from the enemy. He's talking about standing your ground and standing for something. The worst thing, I remember listening to an English teacher that came back from Russia in 1967, and her observation was this when she went over to Russia and came back to the United States. This was in 1967. And she said, the thing that scares me most about Americans is that they won't stand for anything. After being in Russia and coming back, we won't stand for anything. And Christians are losing in the spiritual battle because they will not stand. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 2, 9, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Harboring an unforgiving spirit is one of the things that the devil just loves for Christians to do, because it produces a root of bitterness in them. And they get bitter. And when they get bitter, they get mad at God. When they get mad at God, they don't want to have anything to do with God. When they don't want to have anything to do with God, they lose ground. They surrender ground. Are you surrendering ground this morning? That's what the devil wants. He wants you to surrender ground. We surrender ground not only when we don't fight, but we surrender ground when we underestimate the enemy. I've heard too many preachers preach on how that Christians have so much power over the devil. The only power you have over the devil is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. But let me tell you something. If God allows the devil to wage an attack on you and doesn't help you and protect you, you are going to meet some very hard times. You say, well, God won't let that happen. Oh, he won't. You know how many men in the Bible had illnesses that came from the devil? Paul had one. He said, this thorn in the flesh, it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Not only that, Timothy had all kinds of infirmities. And there were other men that were doing something for God in Paul's age that had problems, but they were still standing. The devil is powerful. And he's strong. And he wants to devour you. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says there about the devil that he goes about as a roaring lion. It says in verse 8, be sober. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You say, what can we do? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He goes about as a roaring lion. He wants to devour. And we're to resist him. The Bible says in the book of James, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And when we don't resist him, we give in to him. And when we give in to him, we surrender ground. Satan hates the child of God. And he has a terrible plan for your life. God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you surrender the ground, the devil can get a hold of you to the place where your life becomes very, very miserable. And sometimes the more you try to do for God, the greater the attack is from the devil on your life and on your family. He wants to steal the eternal significance of your life as you live here on this earth. He wants to steal that away. He wants to wrap you up with problems and circumstances that you can never reach out to others. He wants to wrap you up with so much doubt and discouragement that you're no threat to him and no value to other people. But it only comes when you surrender the ground. And you surrender the ground by not fighting. And you surrender the ground by underestimating the enemy. God has something for you. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. I think about Samuel was the greatest judge that Israel ever had. And when he was weaned and a young child, he was brought to Eli, to the temple, and left there to minister in the temple of God. He grew up in the temple of God. He did not know the Word of God, but God called him. And when God called him, he thought Eli was calling him. Finally, Eli says, if you hear that call again, say, here am I, Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and told him what he was going to do to the household of Eli. And then as a young child, he had to tell Eli what God was going to do to his house. He's going to kill his boys. And not only did God kill his boys, but God killed Eli too. And there was Samuel. God had a wonderful plan for his life. And he became a judge of Israel and judged Israel for many years. And Israel flourished under the hand of Samuel, even though they chose a king, which was not the one God wanted them to have. God had been their king. But Samuel flourished. God had a plan for his life. Moses. God had a plan for Moses' life. Samuel was a child. But you know something? Moses was 40 years old before he ever refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He enjoyed the wealth of Egypt, the education of Egypt, the power of Egypt. He had Egypt at his disposal. He was 40 years old when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and killed a man and fled to the wilderness and stayed out there for 40 years before God ever called him to go back and take the Jew out of the land of Egypt. He was 80 years old when God spoke to him out of the burning bush. He was 120 years old when he died, having led the children of Israel for 40 years again in the wilderness and climbing up on Mount Sinai and coming back down and going back up and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and getting the law from God and presenting it to the children of Israel and all the contention and all the murmuring and all the problems. But he chose to enjoy the riches of Christ than the treasures of Egypt. God had a wonderful plan for his life. And God said about him, he said, one of these days I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto this one right here. And he was talking about his son, Jesus Christ. God has a plan for your life. Whether you're young or whether you're old, God has a plan for your life. And, some people find out the plan of God for their life when they're young, and some when they're in middle age, and some when they're older. But the thing is, find out what God's plan for you is, and then do it, and you're going to have a fruitful life on this earth. We surrender ground. When we surrender ground, it causes us to have broken relationships when we surrender ground. You say, what kind of ground are you talking about surrendering? Any kind of spiritual ground that you've accomplished? I've read the Bible for 47 years. I've read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation every year for 47 years. And sometimes I've read it twice, and sometimes I've read it three times a year. And there was times when I read it five times a year, from Genesis to Revelation. I don't keep track. I don't know exactly how many times I've read the Bible through. But I read the Bible. I read the Bible every day. And when I don't read the Bible, you know what I do? I'm surrendering ground. When I don't pray, I'm surrendering ground. And sometimes, you know, the prayer is very fervent and the prayer is easy to do and the desire is right there to pray and all the things that we've talked about on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. But there's times when those desires aren't like they should be. And if I don't pray, I'm surrendering ground to the devil. When we quit witnessing, when we quit trying to be an influence on somebody else's life for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're surrendering ground. You've got family that needs to hear your testimony. You've got friends that need to hear your testimony. You've got people that you know that are going to die and go to hell unless you give them some kind of testimony. They might still die and go to hell, but at least the blood of that soul won't be on your hands. Because you tried to tell them about Jesus. The choice is theirs. But the obligation to tell them is ours. And the reason why the obligation to tell them is ours is because somebody told us. Somebody had that influence on our life. It might have been a parent. It might have been a grandparent. It might have been a preacher. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been a friend. But someone came to you with a concern about your soul and said, the Lord wants to save you. Do you want to be saved? And they told you how to be saved. And they prayed with you. And when you didn't know how to pray, they told you what to say and mean it from the heart. And when you did that, God did something. When we come to the place in our life where that, where those things don't exist anymore, we surrender ground. Last of all, we surrender ground when we don't arm ourselves properly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about the weapons of our warfare. You know, they talk about these people that are preparing themselves for Armageddon, preparing themselves for doomsday. You know, the best preparation you can make for that is get saved. Then you won't have to be around to go through that stuff. I mean, people spending all this money trying to fortify themselves, underground things and all kinds of ammunition and all kinds of food. If you're saved, you're going to be gone. Don't worry about it. But if you're not saved, and that's the way the lost world looks at it, I've got to prepare for this great calamity that's coming. How do they know it's coming? Because God's putting it in their heart to know something's going to happen. And the only people that know really what's going to happen are the people that believe this book right here. I know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know how it's going to happen. And I know what's going to happen. And I know the nations that are involved in it. And I know something about this nation. We're done. We're doomed. We're gone. I heard a preacher this morning say, I hope America could return to the same America that I knew when I was a child. It'll never happen. Never happen. I mean, don't hold out your hope that somehow there's going to be a revival in this nation and turn everything around. No, we've gone too far for that. When we have sanctioned and legalized homosexuality and abortion and drunkenness and drug addictions and things like that, and our government has put their stamp of approval all over it, and today Christians are being persecuted more in this country than they have been in the last 100 years. Now they're telling people down in Tennessee, these football teams down there, you can't pray before the football team. Why not? Because you might offend somebody over here. Well, here's the solution to it. You don't have to pass a law. Everybody that wants to pray, get on this side. Everybody that doesn't want to pray, get on that side. And you can do whatever you want over there. But we're going to be praying over here. When I ran a crew down in Florida and we went into them swamps, I'd tell them guys, I said, I'm a Christian, and this guy's a Christian, and this guy's a Christian, and this guy, and I don't know about you guys, but I read a chapter of the Bible to them every morning, and I had prayer every morning. And I said, if that offends you and you don't like that, just stand over there, smoke your cigarettes, chew your tobacco, do whatever you want to do. But that's what we're going to do over here. And when we go into the swamp, and there's rattlesnakes and water moccasins and every kind of spider that you could think of out there in the swamps of Florida, I said, just remember, if you get bit, don't run back to the truck, because you'll die before you get there. As for us, we've never been bit. God watches over us. Now, you guys can do whatever you want to do, but we're going to read the Bible and pray. Man, sometimes they didn't join in with us, but boy, they sure didn't make any noise when we were doing that. One guy, we came up against a bunch of hornets one time. There were hornets all over the bushes. And I looked at my man, and I said, those bushes have to come down. They said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go in there with bush axes and chop them down. They said, what about the hornets? I said, what about the hornets? That they're going to attack us. We chopped the bushes down. Those hornets swarmed all around us. Guy went back to the truck. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm not going to go in them bushes. I said, okay, your time stops right now. He said, what do you mean? He said, that's suicide going in there. I said, we're not worried about it. And he went back and told the boss. He said, you know that crazy guy that you got? He tries to read the Bible and pray with us every day. And he wanted me to go in there where there was hornets swarming all around. Of course, he didn't know that the boss was a Christian. And one of the fellows had led him to the Lord when he had a heart attack in the hospital, W.T. Ennington. And W.T. said, well, if he told you to go in, you didn't go in, then your time stopped when he said it stopped. He said, what? That was just absolutely crazy. And I came in and I said, W.T., we got the bushes out, we got the hornets going, and we didn't get stung. But he sat in the truck. The rest of us went in. And, you know, we live in a day and age in which Christians, you take a stand. You're going to be persecuted for it. You might suffer as a Christian, but that's okay. Don't surrender the ground. You say, well, you should have sprayed something on them hornets. Yeah, that would have been the wise thing to do, probably. But still in all, we got this thing done. I mean, when we knocked them down, we set them on fire. But, you know, the Lord just takes care of us. Stand. A fellow said one time, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we surrender ground when we don't properly arm ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not the .38, the .45, the 9mm. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I do have a .38 and a .22, but that's not the weapons. I just have those things because I hunt. And I don't believe anybody ought to take our freedom away to bear arms. I never had anything but a shotgun until they started raising all this ruckus, and then I went out and got everything else. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have weapons. They're spiritual weapons. And that's why we renew our mind on a daily basis with the Word of God. Remember who you are, the Son of God. In Ephesians 6, you have a helmet. And that's the helmet of salvation to remind you that you're a son of God. You have a breastplate. That's a breastplate of righteousness so that the world can see there's something different about you. You have your loins girt about with truth. And the truth is the Word of God. And you wear that. You wear the Word of God. You have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel so that when you go and preach the gospel of peace, wherever you go, your feet take you. You can preach the gospel of peace. You have in your hand a defensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then you pray because you're not retreating. You're facing the enemy and you're standing and you're praying and not surrendering ground. Have you surrendered ground in your life as a child of God? Have you given in to the devil and let him take it back, some of the ground that you one time had in your life that you were victorious in? If you have, take it back. Ask God to give it back to you and then stand. And if you do that, you'll come out okay. We'll come out okay. We'll come out okay as a church and we'll come out okay as individuals if we'll do that. The stand will be dismissed with a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation.